Please be seated. What motivates you to do anything? Somebody said our wives. You know, a lot of things move people. But I am very grateful and thankful at a certain point in my life where I had a wonderful exposure to the greatness and accuracy of God's Word. That's what motivates me more than anything else, is the greatness of God's Word. It's God's Word, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Do you think He knows how to say it? What to say? What we need to hear? He does. He does, big time. Big time. Well, it's very evident in this wonderful Word of God that God wants us to walk with power, right? There's so many wonderful scriptures in the Word of God that our Heavenly Father wants us to be able to overcome anything the adversary throws our way, any opportunity, anything that God would want us to deal with victoriously. And we've got a great God. And He's given us that ability, that power, that we can take on anything the adversary can throw at us. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. And what a great truth that is. With God's power, we can heal people. We can bring deliverance to those who... With God's power, we can bring people to the greatness of His Word and to the family of God, the salvation message. I think that's a very powerful tool that we have. To bring people from death unto eternal life. You see, there's so many wonderful scriptures about this power that we have in our life. You know, that we can triumph in Christ. We can do all things through Him, right? We're more than conquerors. He has given us the victory in Christ. So we want to be able to take this power and sit on it and do nothing with it? No, we want to get up and do something, right? Why not exercise this great power? Why not walk in the power that God says we can have and walk? So what I want to share with you this morning are two aspects that I believe will help you tremendously walk and utilize the power of God in your life. Now, 2 weeks ago, I shared the first aspect of walking in the power of God. I don't know if you remember what that was. What was the subject a couple weeks ago? Power of attorney. Exactly. The power of attorney. It was using the name of Jesus Christ to do some wonderful dynamic things, right? Jesus Christ gave us that authority, that ability to use His name to bring to pass all kinds of wonderful deliverance, signs, wonders, and miracles. In John 14, and we should have these scriptures up here for you. In John 14, we've got Acts 1. I'm jumping ahead here. Next one, John 14, 13. But let's don't forget Acts 1. I'm glad my AV department threw that up there, because the last thing the Lord and Savior said before He ascended up into heaven, that you're going to receive power, right? After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You're going to receive power. It's all about the power of God. Every Christian can walk with great power. But how do we do that? How do we implement that power? And this first part is our power of attorney. We can use the name of Jesus Christ to do a lot of wonderful things. So, John 14, 13, there it is. And whatsoever... you shall ask in what? My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, if you didn't get it in that verse, read the next one. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, God duplicates what He says, makes great emphasis there. So in the name of Jesus Christ, look out, right? We can walk with great power. Now, Philippians, next verse. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. This really spells it out. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. Who's he talking about? Exalted who? Jesus Christ. And given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, right? Every knee shall give reverence to, because there's no greater name than the Lord Jesus Christ. And those, with that name, all things got to bow to it. Those things in heaven and earth and under the earth, wherever that is, okay? So we have a resource of power that is just phenomenal. But how do we use it? How can we implement it? Well, we use what? The name of Jesus Christ to take care of business. With that name, we can exercise that power. And there's another aspect, another key that I want to share with you this morning so that you realize you have the authority to use that name. Because you might think, well, I'm just a little believer. I go to church once a week and read the Bible a little bit. I don't think I'm the one that should be exercising great power. So I don't know if I can really have the right, the authorization to use that name. And I get it. I get it. Why don't Christians walk with the power of God? Why can't they bring deliverance to God's people and have situations that are taxing them? Al came to me this morning. And he says, I got a little digestive problem going on here. Would you pray for me? So now what could I have done? I'm not up for it, Al. Now, go talk to somebody else. No. Did I have the power and the ability to minister healing to him? Sure did. But do I feel like I was authorized to do it? Was I good enough to do it? And that's a serious question that I think believers ask in their heart as they have situations occur where, am I going to exercise the power of God? Am I going to step out and say, God, in the name of Jesus Christ, take care of this situation. Heal this man. Well, it sure worked for Al. Because I do have the authorization to use that name of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you a little bit how this works. Maybe you'll understand what I'm talking about. A number of years ago, I was in the Marine Corps. I've told you different stories of my adventures in the Marine Corps. And for a period of time, I was a weapons platoon commander. I was in charge of the weapons platoon. Now, every Marine, Todd can verify this, every Marine has an M16 rifle. That's their power base, okay? Everyone has an M16. But you know what I had? I had 6 machine guns, 3 rocket launchers, and 3 mortars. Now, that's a little bit more power, right? So I had more power than the average Marine had. But then the question comes up, am I authorized to use this? Do I have the authority to use my 6 machine guns and rocket launchers and everything? Not really. So who do I go to? I go to my commanding officer, the company commander. And he tells me where to implement this power. Okay, where to share my machine guns here, put my mortars there, and then let it rip, okay? So he has the seat of authority to determine how that power would be used. He's the one that makes that decision. Now, what about us as born-again Christians? What position do we hold that would give us the authority to exercise the great power of God that we have? Good question. And do we have the authority to use the power that God's given us? I think we would say yes, but why? How does that work? So So let's go to the Word of God. I want to share something with you, an aspect in God's Word, and really something we're familiar with, even in the world today, that gives people the authority to exercise power. And go to Esther 3:1. If you can't find it in your Bible, it's up on the screen. So Esther 3:1. We're going to discover how being seated with authority gives you the right to exercise the power. So Esther 3:1, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him. And what did he do? He set his seat above all the princes that were with him. So did he go out and grab a chair and put his chair at a certain spot? Well, kind of yes. But who had the highest seat in that kingdom? The king did, right? The guy that has all the power and the authority to use it, where is he seated? Is he in the back row? No, he's in the front row, up high, right? When you go to court, where is the judge seated? He's up front, up high. That's something that's very characteristic in our culture and certainly in the Bible, the seat of authority. The seat of authority. And here, this king promoted Haman and set his... All right. Got me back. All right. The princes that were with him. So he had a seat far above the princes. So because he had that seat there, you think he exercised the power with the authority that he was given? Yes, yes. Makes all the difference in the world. Now let's go to Ezekiah 28:2. There it is. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyrus, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a god, I sit in the seat of God. In the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Again, we see this illustration, I sit in the seat of God. And that gives you the authority, the authorization to exercise that power. And that indicates that you do have the authority to exercise power. Revelations 13:2. There's a lot of examples. I'm just sharing a few of them with you. In Revelations 13:2, it says, and we've got this, here we go. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and what? Great authority. There it is. He's seated with great authority. So, hey, if you're in the judge's seat, do you think you can exercise some power? Do you have the authorization? Yes. Yes, if you're seated in the place of authority, then you can exercise the power that's available to you. Pretty neat. Now, Hebrews 1:3. Jesus Christ had access to God's incredible power. And here in Hebrews 1:3, we've got it on the screen. Who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. The word of his power. He says the word and the power is done. It's exercised. When he had by himself did what? Purged our sins. And what? Sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ today? Right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints, doing some other things. But he's talking to God for you, and he's right there at the right hand. So he's got some authority to exercise the power of God. Pretty amazing here. Are you seeing how this fits a little bit here? Now, let's apply our life and who we are. Where are we seated in the scheme of all this? 1 Peter 3:22. Whoever is seated at the right hand of God exercises incredible power. So 1 Peter 3:22 says, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being what? Made subject unto him. Why? Because he's at the right hand. Okay, now let's go to Ephesians 2:6. We're taking this reality, being seated with authority at the right hand of God. And you and I are at the right hand of God. Ephesians 2:6. And hath raised us up together. Who's us? You and me, all of us. Every believer born again of God's Spirit has been raised up and made. It wasn't, you know, an option here, really. But we were made. He made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So where Jesus Christ is seated, where are we? Right there too. We're in his lap or something. I don't know. Get a mind picture. But we're right there at the right hand. So now you're thinking, wait a minute now. If I'm at the right hand of God, maybe I have some authority to do something. And we do. And we do. As born again ones, we have the right and the authority to speak words of power, to see the power of God exercised, to bring healing and deliverance. So when somebody comes up to you and said, will you pray for me, get excited, because you're going to exercise the power of God. You're going to use the name of Jesus Christ, and you're going to remember, I have the authority to do this. I'm not just some little old lowly Christian believer. I'm seated at the right hand of God. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror because I'm at the right hand of God. I have the authority to do it. Get excited. This is good. This is great. Yes, it's a beautiful thing. Now, I know when we talk about exercising the power of God, we talk about the renewed mind. The renewed mind is the key to power. Many of us have heard that term. And what that means is if we renew our mind to who we are in Christ, then we can exercise these things. And what I'm sharing with you this morning is, I'm sharing with you that you would start thinking about, okay, as you live your day, think about where you're seated. I'm at the right hand of God. I have the authority to exercise the power of God. That's who I am. I'm a Christian born again of God's Spirit. I'm a son of God with power. You have that option. You can say, well, I don't know if I can pull this one off. Well, it's not about you. It's about what Christ did for you to make you have the ability to do it. Jesus Christ said, you shall receive power after what comes upon you? Holy Spirit. You got Holy Spirit. And you've got the authority to exercise it because you're at the right hand of God. Wow. Did we read Ephesians 2:6? Yeah, isn't that fantastic? We sit together. Pretty fantastic. Let's look at Ephesians 1:19. As born-again ones, we have the exciting privilege to have the authority to speak words of power because we are at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. So here in Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Is that it? Is that the end of the verse? And set him at the right hand in the heavenly places. That established Jesus Christ's authority because he was at the right hand of God. You're there too. Man, look at the opportunities we have tomorrow. As we face the day, we can renew our We're born again Christians. We have the authority because we're at the right hand of our Heavenly Father. We're seated in the heavenlies. It's kind of neat being a Christian, isn't it? It really is. And until you start stepping out on this, and when opportunities arrive to believe God and confess these truths, do it. Do it. And the more you do it, then you're going to get a little more comfortable with this setup. Pretty neat. Pretty fantastic. We can heal the sick. We can bring deliverance to those, no matter what situation's going on in this suffering world that we live in. We can bring deliverance because we're seated at the heavenlies. We're going to close in Colossians 3:1. Colossians 3:1-2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Put your focus on the right hand of God, okay? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. I don't think it'd be spelled any clearer, do you? There it is. So how awesome it is to be seated at the right hand of God, having the authority to exercise this great power that we have. Our position of authority is at our Heavenly Father's right hand. And it's a privilege for us to walk and talk with Him and minister healing to this broken world. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank You for the richness of Your love and care for us, that You would allow us to have such a tight relationship with us, that we would have the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ and see great deliverance brought to Your people. We stand in awe of Your love and grace in our lives. But we're just thankful, Father. We're thankful that we can be who You've called us to be and step out on it. So thank You for Your people here, everyone that's listened to this teaching or will listen to it in the future, that they can be inspired by Your word and the truth of it to exercise Your power with great authority. And I thank You in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Thank you, Bob.